It's the morning show, and we're getting tips on making and keeping friends as an adult. A study last year found you need to spend 50 hours with someone to be friends, 200 hours, 200 to be good friends. Have you tried making friends as an adult? What worked? What didn't? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Julia Furlan is a host and reporter at NPR. She produced a three-part guide on friendship for Life Kit. That's an NPR series about how to navigate life. And she joins us from NPR's studios in New York. Julia, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, it's so wonderful to be in the Midwest for the first time.
Well, Julia, thanks for being here. And what situations do we as adults find ourselves in needing to make new friends? Because we're adults, shouldn't we have our friends by this time?
I don't know. I think that that is one of the most damaging parts about making friends, right? Because essentially, you need friends all throughout your life. And the idea that you don't need new friends once you're an adult is actually like really can be damaging, because as we go through life stages and as we change things about our lives, you know, maybe we have kids, maybe we change jobs, maybe we move to a new place, we still need that connection. And, you know, of course, old friends are wonderful and vital to, you know, a large friend group. But I think that I think it's holding us back a little bit, that we actually need new friends as we go through our lives. And it helps us feel vulnerable. Like, it helps us grow as people to have new friends.
Makes us feel vulnerable in what way?
Well, I think that a lot of the people I spoke to, I had so much fun reporting this series on friendship, but a lot of the people that I spoke to, basically they were talking about how important it is to be vulnerable, that like vulnerability is the first step in making a new friend, which is often the reason why it's such a challenge and something that people don't always end up doing.
In your reporting, you learned about the liking gap, that there's something called the liking gap. How does this inform the way we interact with people? What is it?
The liking gap is the idea that people actually like you more than you think they do. essentially, you know, that voice that you have in your head where you talk to someone. I mean, I don't know if this happens to you. I think it happens to a lot of people. But like, you talk to someone, you have this like short interaction, and you walk away and you basically think, oh, that person didn't like me, or I must have said something weird.
Did you see that
look
they gave me?
Yeah, exactly. Something where you just sort of like start replaying that is actually not really the case. That most of the time, people actually like you more than you think they did. And that we perceive ourselves to be less liked than we actually are. So, you know, I don't know. Hopefully at the end of this recording, I'll be like, oh, you know, maybe I did this, maybe I did that, but maybe you'll like me more than I thought you did.
Well, you also learned that our 30s are a very difficult time to make friends. What's happening in that decade?
You know, so much is happening in that decade. There's, you know, there's relationships starting, there's children oftentimes. And I think that we don't always talk about how important friendship is to these like difficult periods in our lives. And I think that if people really were to dig deep and sort of like sit with the discomfort of saying like, hey, I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. They require 99% of my energy. I'm having trouble, working. People are working more. People have, you know, limited time ultimately. And I think that if people were to sit with that and sort of open up to their friends, or open up to even new people that they meet at the playground, at the school and all of that, they would see that they could build some more friendships for people who are in that same life stage in their 30s, the dark time.
The dark time.
Yeah, that was Heather Heverleski, who's a wonderful advice columnist at Ask Polly. She's wonderful.
We're getting advice on how to cultivate friendships as adults with Julia Furlan. She's a host and reporter at NPR in New York. What questions do you have about how to make the leap from acquaintance to friend? Have you had to break up with a friend? Have you been through a ghosting situation where a friend seemed to disappear off the map. We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue this conversation on friendship. Stay with us here in the Ideas Network. We're getting practical advice on making friends as an adult. It is the morning show. How often have you had this exchange at work? How are you? Good. And you? Fine. It's hard to get beyond that superficial chit-chat, but you don't want to overshare. Researchers have found that having a best friend at work can actually increase morale and productivity. Have you tried making friends as an adult? What worked? What didn't? Join in, 800-642-1234. Julia Furlan is a host and reporter at NPR who's been exploring adult friendship, and she stays with us. Let's go to the phones now. Cindy is joining us from Appleton. Good morning, Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. Good morning. Well, I'm 63 now. I'm still partially working. I'm not full-time working, but part-time working. But I'm having issues because of the fact that I'm at that age group now where I've lost a lot of my friends to cancer and other weird diseases. And, you know, a lot of the friends husbands have retired are now spending more time with the husband, the grandkids, you know, doing their kind of own thing. Some of my friends are just not healthy enough to do things. So I'm kind of in that age group where it's really tough to get to make friends.
Cindy, thank you. Julia, what would you say there?
I really empathize with that situation, Cindy. I think it's really difficult to feel that sort of... I found that when I was reporting, a lot of stories about friendship are actually stories about loneliness and sort of overcoming that. I would say that, like, there's this one piece of advice that everybody always says when you say that you want to make new friends, which is to go and do something that you like to do. And I would say that in this situation, it feels like following that instinct, Cindy, to, you know, go hiking or join a cooking class or take some time to do an activity. And the research basically says, like, do it more than once. Do it. You have to sort of dedicate yourself to doing it a couple of times so that you can be a regular sort of at a new place and make friends that way. I would say that, like, I think we should also work to let go of boundaries in terms of friends. Like, just because you're 63 doesn't mean that you can't be friends with somebody who's in their 30s. And in fact, especially this, my friend and writer, Rachel Wilkerson Miller, wrote a book called The Art of Showing Up, How to Be There for Yourself and Your People. And she recommends that, you know, people sort of let go of the boundaries of people only in your same life stage as your friends. So reaching younger, reaching older, that would be my advice to you, Cindy.
What about at work, Julia? Is work a good place to find a friend?
You know, work is tricky because every workplace is kind of different and you don't know what the culture of the workplace is like. But I do think that at work, people tend to sort of get into these like routines where they're just like, you know, I show up, I make my coffee, I don't really look left or right. I have the same five conversations with the same five people and that's it. I do think that there is a world in which your work life becomes richer if you are able to look at somebody in the elevator or look at somebody over the coffee machine and say, wow, I am really struggling with this particular thing today, you know? And I think that that first step of vulnerability can really open the door. When you are vulnerable, you make it possible for the other person to be vulnerable as well. You open the door so that they can walk in. And it doesn't always work, and you have to be a little bit careful about especially workplace environments. But I think that with some amount of self-awareness and some amount of vulnerability, you can really get somewhere.
Because people spend so much time at work.
I know.
You would think that there is more propensity for them to develop friendships when they're working so closely with people.
Absolutely. And there's like a sort of crushing sadness when you realize, oh, I spend most of my time at this place where I don't feel any connection. I know that my dad worked for 30 years for a company, and I don't know that he still would consider anybody that he worked with that whole time as his friend. Mm. And that, you know, that made me really sad when I sort of thought about that. So I don't know. I feel like people should, you know, within the boundaries and, you know, you got to respect whatever workplace culture you come from, but be a little bit more open, a little bit more vulnerable at work, I think.
Can there be apps that help us out here in finding friends? Where does technology come down here?
I mean, I think so. There is Bumble BFF, which is a particular app that is made for friendships. There are a couple of friendship apps. Jillian Sandstrom is one of the researchers that I spoke to, and she is at the University of Essex. We're actually doing a Reddit AMA tomorrow at noon, but she has this theory or this research on weak ties, which basically is like, you know, the person at your coffee shop or like the person in your world who you have like a little bit of an exchange with, that decreases, having a good exchange with that person will decrease your loneliness. And Jillian has an app that is, I think it's called Goose Chase, where basically she has like a challenge, like a scavenger hunt style challenge for talking to strangers that, that I thought was really cool. But, you know, you can just start talking to strangers more. It really, it turns out, It's fine. You know, you can do it.
We can do it. Julia Furlan is our guide as we talk about adult friendship. She's an NPR reporter in New York. Have you tried using an app to make friends? Did you join a club in pursuit of meeting people? What came of it? Join in through the hour, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue looking at friendship after a news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show, and let's just get it out there. Friendship is hard and awkward, and we should just accept it. But your next close friend might just be a stranger to you right now, and people like you more than you think they do. So researchers, as we've learned, call this the liking gap. We're learning about this gap with your stories and questions about adult friendship at 800-642-1234. NPR reporter Julia Furlan put together a guide on friendship for the NPR series Life Kit, and she stays with us. Julia, you were talking earlier about acquaintances, like the barista at the coffee shop, and you kind of feel a potential connection, but you're not quite sure. Mm-hmm. How do you feel out those loose acquaintances to see if there could be something there as a friend?
You know, I think that it's a little bit tricky because you don't want to come in too hot. You know, you don't want to make people uncomfortable. and I should say that, like, you know, this doesn't mean that every service worker that you interact with needs to be your best friend. But if you are walking through the world and interacting with people as you do, just taking a moment to notice that those tiny interactions and make them a little bit more personable instead of just sort of going into robot mode or, like, you know, honestly, maybe instead of using the app of your Starbucks app, you actually wait in line and talk to the barista for a second. That kind of tiny shift in the intention behind these conversations can sort of change them. Jillian Sandstrom is the researcher I was talking to. And Jillian basically tested this out with the two control groups and found that people who had a small interaction with what she calls weak ties, people who are, you know, who you see in the world, who you have a jaunty exchange with, maybe you share a joke, you complain about the weather, whatever it is, people who do that feel less lonely. They feel better in their lives than people who are sort of like blinders on, move through the world, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that sometimes we forget that that's part of it. You know, sometimes we forget that that weak tie can happen. I have a really good friend that I made because I was going to this, you know, I'm not a very good cook, but it was like my night to do dinner. So I would go to this one restaurant every Tuesday, and I would just talk to the chef, who was, you know, behind the counter and blah, blah, blah. And now it's like 6 years later, and I'm really good friends with her and her husband and her two kids, and I feel a genuine closeness. But it you know, you have to respect the time that it might take to constantly, you know, go to the same place.
I had this aha moment when you talked about someone who had asked their hairstylist, do you cut the hair of anyone who I might be, you know, someone who I could hit it off with, perhaps a friend? No, that was very resourceful.
I love that story. Yeah, it's basically a story of a listener who called in, who Cassidy, I think her name was Cassidy. Forgive me if I'm wrong. Oh, God, what a terrible thing. But she basically she had just moved to a new city. She had green hair and was going to get her hair touched up, and just asked her hairdresser, hey, do you know anyone else who you think I would just vibe with as a friend? And the hairdresser had a moment and thought and thought and thought, and then set Cassidy up on a friendship blind date. And Cassidy has green hair, and the blind date had pink hair. And they, you know, they hit it off. They, like, became friends and went to coffee and ended up going, I think, getting wine or something like that. So I think that asking around and being vulnerable in that way, being sort of direct and saying, hey, I'm new here, or hey, I'm looking to make new friends. Do you know anyone that you think I would vibe with? That's a pretty good start.
Another tip that you have is to be present with our friends, to remember things, to take notes.
Yes.
Help us out in keeping our friends organized and checking in with them.
Yeah, I think that changing a little, it's really about intention. It's about saying, like, instead of sort of like going on the usual path of how are you, how are your kids, blah blah blah, sitting and sort of like listening to somebody as they share about it and asking like follow-up questions can be a really interesting way to sort of break out of your usual friendship conversation or patterns. And taking notes is incredible. I have my friend Thibaut. He started basically making a list of topics that we were going to talk about that he wanted to ask me about. And I listen, it's not for everyone.
It sounds like an agenda.
It is, but it really helped. It made me feel he was like updating me on his life. A lot was going on, and it like kept him on track, and it made it so that he could sort of let go of wondering like, oh, I wanted to say that one thing, but we didn't get to talk about it. It made it so that he could go through his agenda of like all of his updates on me, and we could really have like a structure for the conversation. I think that people should work to be present in that way, and whatever that means for you, you know, like it doesn't have to mean taking notes. It can mean, you know, writing down your friend's birthday in Google Calendar, and making sure that you maybe instead of sending them a Facebook message or a text message, you actually pick up the phone and call them on their birthday. That kind of like slight small intention that increases, maybe it increases a little bit of your vulnerability, but it also increases the attention that you're giving to them is really helpful.
Yeah, we're learning about friendship in adulthood with NPR reporter Julia Furlan. You can join in. Did you make some of your best friends later in life? Why do you think it worked out that way? 800-642-1234 to join the conversation. Julia, you talk about the friendship triangle. It has three sides to figure out, you know, what's going on if a friendship is feeling off, it's not working. Mm-hmm. What is the friendship triangle?
Okay, I love this concept. I think everyone should sort of like put it in their minds. If you're listening here, just like picture a triangle that has three sides all equal. It's a concept from a writer named Shasta Nelson, who has a really great book called Frentimacy that I recommend, and also TED Talks if a book is not your thing. I mean, it should be, but you know, it's fine. Anyway, so you're picturing a triangle here, right? The base of the triangle is positivity. And that doesn't necessarily mean that your relationship with that person is like inherently all good times all the time. It means that when you think about that person or when you're with that person, you come away with a sense of positivity more often than you come away with a sense of like negativity, you know? And then the other two sides of the triangle are consistency, which is like how frequently you see that friend and how frequently you interact with them, and vulnerability. And basically, Shasta Nelson says that consistency and vulnerability should increase at the same rate. So like if you see someone every single day and you're wanting to like be more of a friend with them. I mean, I feel like every day is a lot for a new friend. But like, you know, let's say you see somebody like a couple times a week or whatever. Your consistency in seeing them should increase at the same rate of vulnerability. So like you shouldn't be overly vulnerable with somebody who you don't see or interact with that consistently, you know?
Right.
And then the positivity is the base because it sort of informs the other two interactions. Like, you know, not every time you talk to a friend do you come away with that sort of like warm, full feeling. I mean, hopefully all as much as possible, but not always. But the idea is that like overwhelmingly you have a positive vibe or a positive feeling when you're with them. So that's the friendship triangle. Positivity, consistency, and vulnerability.
Well, let's squeeze in a call now. Dan is joining us from Drummond. Hi, Dan.
Hello. Well, what I want to suggest is become a volunteer. I mean, maybe you won't make a lot of friends, but you'll make a lot of acquaintances. And for myself, years ago, when my hometown of Mellon had a nursing home open up, one of the ladies that I met had a special history. She grew up in the Dakotas. She turned out to be one of Lawrence Welk's first piano players on radio.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, there's so much history that is lost, and it's just take the time to go and visit with someone.
Well, Dan, thank you so much. Being a volunteer is, you know, you have that potential to make friends, Julia, but also you're doing something really good.
Absolutely, Dan. That is a wonderful idea, especially because, you know, if you follow the things that you're passionate about, you will find a way to volunteer. You can fit that into your life if that fits into your schedule. And, you know, do you like cooking? Is there a book club? Look at the communities that you're already a part of and see if doing a little bit of good is gonna open up that friendship thing. And I think, you know, Dan used the word acquaintance, but like, you know, you could also, if you're consistent going to volunteer at that one place, your acquaintance from volunteering could eventually become like a really lifelong friend.
Julia, let's talk for a moment here about when people change and friendships change, and sometimes friendships start to fade away. How should we treat that time?
You know, I think that there's a really solid script in place that says that, you know, you make a friend when you're five and then that person is your friend forever and they have to be in your wedding and then that you have to like raise your kids together, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I am here to say that like not every single friendship that you have is going to last your entire life. And I think that that is something that is a little bit different. I think that we want to be loyal people. We want to show up for our friends. But I do feel as if we would serve ourselves well by sitting down and evaluating the people that we have in our lives and realizing that like not all the time do we need to carry somebody's friendship. We can be grateful for them and sort of, you know, let them go if the friendship is like damaging or not serving us in the way that it should be.
Well, Julia, thank you so much for joining us.
It has been such a treat. Thank you so much, Kate.
Julia Furlan is a host and reporter at NPR in New York, and she joined us from NPR's studios in New York. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.